part of Ontario are you from, man?
Well, I'm in southern Ontario.
Southern Ontario, okay.
Yeah, about an hour outside of Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto, one of my favorite towns.
I actually had a musical at the Living Arts Center in Mississauga.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, Hot Shoe Shuffle a couple of years ago.
I do know where Mississauga is.
So. Okay.
And I have to say that I even know where Mississauga is.
Really?
Yeah, I do because I've done some work up there. There's a great pop producer named Justin Gray, and he runs a really interesting pop workshop every year where Justin Gray gets a bunch of producers. He's a BMG writer, and he gets a bunch of producers and writers up there, and you all get together. It's sort of like boot camp, and he's out there, and you write a different song every day, and you write and record one song every day for a week.
That's fantastic.
And then he pitches them all over the world.
Cool. Yeah.
Very interesting.
And then I have family, actually, in the northern part of Ontario, in Timmins.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, throughout Ontario, so many lakes and lushness.
Mm-hmm. Unlike Southern California. urban L.A. All artists in Los Angeles feel that they must spend some time either in Venice Beach or Silver Lake.
I see.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, absolutely. Those two. And then you settle down, and you don't want to live there anymore. Because of all the artists living there.
Exactly.
You want to live with, like, people who have other children like yourselves and things like that.
You can tell Megan's a new mom.
Yeah, yeah. I have a 3-month-old baby.
Well, fantastic. Then this must be a thrill for you to do all of this work with children's
awesome.
Music.
Exactly. And it wasn't until I had first of my kids, and my kids are now 6 and 4, my boys, that I even thought of doing anything for the kids' market. Now it's sort of so much in our daily consciousness and in our blood that we couldn't resist it.
And we got a built-in market as well. We'll have the boys watch. Amy has 2 boys. I've got a girl. And we'll watch videos. We'll have the boys watch. And we're like, yeah, we should do that TV show. The boys love it.
Yeah, it's a very good test audience.
It's great.
And they're quite honest. Kids never lie about what they think is good.
And what they think is boring.
It's either riveting or boring. Right.
It's either I'm getting up and getting something to eat or I'm glued to it. It's sort of that way. So.
And the interesting thing is that my kids, though they're boys, really love this Barbie movie. I mean, they saw it in process, and they watch it often now because, I guess maybe because the Martin Short character is so
fun. That's what I was just going to say, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, so there are guys for them to either identify with or villainize. They think they don't know it's a girl's movie.
And my husband actually sings I'm a Girl Like You all the time around our house. So
well, that is something we need to have to see somebody about.
In fact, he's very worried that he's going around singing that. It's a little tribute at the house, but
that's the test for us of whether something is working. If people compulsively sing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Then we know something's going right.
Yeah, and if you met my husband, he'd be the last person you'd think be singing I Am a Girl Like You.
I should say he's extremely masculine.
Well, after watching the movie, I was just humming to myself, how could I refuse? Throughout the entire evening.
It's not just because a Canadian was singing.
Oh, nothing like that.
Uh-huh.
It was just,
he still has a slight Canadian accent, Martin Short, interestingly enough. Just a slight one.
Yeah.
We were joking.
But actually, Mattel did a lot of the animation work in Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. In Toronto, right, Megan?
Yeah, absolutely. And Mainframe. Have you heard of Mainframe Productions?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did a lot of the also recording of some of the songs, a few of the songs we did there.
So we're quite indebted.
Yeah, Jen Twiner is one of the producers on this, a Canadian.
Mm-hmm. I wish I'd known.
She just had a baby 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
All connected. We're
going
back to the baby thing.
Well, actually, let's talk about your musical backgrounds. Start with Megan.
Okay.
That's good because Megan has the actual musical background, and I'm just an interloper. It's true.
I actually got started later in music than most kids. I got started in junior high school,
mm-hmm.
and I was just so taken with a production of My Fair Lady at the Swarthmore Players Club. I grew up outside Philadelphia.
Right.
That I had a piano, and I just went home and, like, played half the scores, what the story goes, and started lessons from there and just, you know, fell in love with writing musicals and everything about music. Luckily, I took great lessons from a guy named Dr. Alfred Blotter, and he has written the premier book on orchestration, the American book on that. And I was just taking lessons and singing lessons and piano lessons and theory lessons and just wrote my first musical at 15 and was hooked ever since. And I just, you know, love the art form, have 2 degrees in composition for musical theater, as much as my parents were completely worried about that degree ever paying off. And thank God it has. And actually, Amy and I actually met in New York at a workshop called the Lehman Engel Workshop.
Well, which is sponsored by BMI. They hook up new writers, the new composers and lyricists, and they teach them for 3 years how to create a musical.
Incredible.
And it's an amazing free program that BMI offers.
Yeah, and at the time, I was, you know, also writing film scores for, I had a synthesizer in the dormitory, so I was sort of like, if you had a film, you went to Megan, and she did your score.
Yeah, but now all the people who your dormmates are actually filmmakers, and they're still coming to you for your
score. DX7, that really worked out well. And Amy at the time, when we met at BMI, was actually in corporate law.
Yeah. Oh. I came into this field from left field. I was working at a major law firm in New York and had no idea that my destiny lay in writing lyrics. And I got sick for a little while and ended up spending some time at home. And I was so bored that I decided to write a song. And then I was hooked, completely hooked. And within a very short time, I had given up my legal career entirely.
And gave me a lot of her wardrobe, by the way.
Yes.
I being the starving artist at the time. Little did she know.
So I actually have both a law degree and an MBA, neither of which have proved to be my ultimate place in the, you know, in the world. And so it's been a really interesting journey for me because this was a completely different kind of experience. And,
but there's plenty of times, Amy, where I don't know a few words in the contract, and we do, you know, you'll say, oh, that's what that means. So there are a few times.
Well, I have one thing to say about this, which is knowing how to read legalese doesn't protect you from it.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the things. And
just
I know
you're being screwed.
Well, yes, I was not a music lawyer. I was never a music lawyer, but I can certainly, you know, decipher that language. However, as composers, you know, often you are not at the top of the chain when it comes to deciding what happens in any particular enterprise. And so a lot of jobs are take it or leave it, which is unfortunate, you know, but true, that, you know, here we're doing our creative best and still don't have creative control.
Hmm.
Yeah. But on this particular movie, we were so lucky because the guy who hired us,
Rob Hudnut
at Mattel, who heads up their entertainment unit over there for these kinds of movies, is not only a great
producer,
but he is a writer as well. And so he collaborated with us on all of these songs.
I see.
And he co-wrote the lyrics, and he had a lot of vision about what these characters were like, and what the movie should be saying, you know, a moral mission as well as a corporate mission.
And he has a lot of care is taken in making these Barbie movies.
Because I think they rightly so feel that there's an obligation to these girls who are going to be listening over and over again to whatever messages are coming in through the
movie. Their parents.
Right. To make sure that they're, A, saying something, and B, saying something good.
Right.
Mm. Saying something helpful and positive for girls and empowering for girls.
Right. And as writers, it's just great to write about, you know, a Barbie character who not only saves herself but saves her village.
Her whole kingdom, actually.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she's a scientist. I mean, when we were writing the songs and things, it was like, these are great topics: loyalty, friendship, equality, you know, choosing your own path, you know, using your intelligence to solve problems and believing in your dreams. These are all really inspiring things, wouldn't you say, Amy,
sure, and
obstacles to overcome.
Absolutely, and things that we as parents could get behind. you know, but also that we knew we could put into the movie in an entertaining way.
Right.
And Rob really led us there.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful. And also really impressive because this movie, unlike some of the movies from major movie studios, this came out in a very short time from its, you know, from inception.
Right.
And they just do a tremendous job there. They take great care, and they're very concerned with, you know, with how what they're doing is going to influence generation of girls.
Right. Well, now you've mentioned a couple of the considerations that you did in writing songs, but is it any different than writing a song, let's say, for a live action as opposed to an animated film?
Well, Amy can answer this because she does a lot more of that pop writing.
Yeah, most of the time in live action, what you're trying to do is create a mood that matches the mood of the scene. You know, mood in your music that matches the general thing that the story is trying to tell. In animation, a lot of the time, at least in this kind of story, which is a traditional musical theater story, what you're trying to do is further the character's journey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's much more specific, and it has to go
take
into
you from point
the story.
To point. Right.
Right. It's got to take you from one place in the story to a completely different place, if it's doing its job well.
And that's that particular story. I mean, Amy and I are also, you know, just completed some stuff for My Little Pony and for Little People and a couple other projects. And those particular projects, they were for television and straight to video that have, those songs have to operate differently than these particular songs.
Yeah, Little People is another Mattel brand, and they need songs that teach kids about things. So our songs are, you know, are all teaching about...
Yeah, like a square dance number for shapes and colors.
Right,
yes.
Or a friendship number, you know, a circle of friends.
Right.
So that's very different, and it's a younger audience, too.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of live action, it's almost like a completely different art form.
Yeah, I feel the same way when I'm approaching a film score.
Right, it's more mood.
Right. And there are peaks and valleys and things, and then you got to keep out of the way of all that darn dialogue.
Oh, that pesky dialogue.
Getting in the way of the music. But, yeah, they're flexing different muscles, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.